I would invite you to take a Bible and turn to Proverbs. We're going to read three brief passages as we think today about successful living. First, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, then chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, and 3, 5 to 12, as we think about successful living. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for learning about wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for gaining instruction in wise dealings, righteousness, justice, and equity, to teach shrewdness to the simple, knowledge and prudence to the young. Let the wise also hear and gain in learning, and the discerning acquire skill to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And in chapter 2, beginning in verse 4, speaking once again about wisdom. If you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk blamelessly, guarding the paths of justice and preserving the way of His faithful ones. And then probably one of the most quoted verses of the Old Testament, chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be a healing for your flesh and a refreshment for your body. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My child, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof, for the Lord reproves the one He loves as a father, the son in whom He delights. Call this toll-free number, and we will send you a free DVD to introduce you to our program, which will guarantee financial freedom and success. One of these days I'm going to call the person in Spartanburg and utter a complaint. We've been at the same jewelry location, the one and only one, for over 30 years. Bring us your gold for free cash. I'm serious. And if you listen to that commercial about four times, he says, bring your gold now for free cash. Well, it's not free if you give them the gold. You've tried all the other diets without success, but call 1-800-JENNY-NOW or call Weight Watchers. Or pick up the Atkins diet and you will be a success. Call this number and you'll get on the fast track to success. God wants to prosper you and make you a success. So call or write and we will send you offer number 25. So that you may become successful and reap the blessings that God has for you. Don't hesitate. Call now, and don't forget to send in your contribution of $25 or more. A number of years ago, Ernest Angley was even selling pictures of his dead wife, Angel, for $25 or more. Do it now, so you don't cause a delay in getting what God has in store for you. Early to bed, early to rise. Makes a man's life dull. Well, that's not really what it says, right? Makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. And we could go on and on and on with all kinds of pitches and proverbs and schemes which claim to make you a success without really doing a whole lot. Now, what person really doesn't want to succeed in life? Most of us want to succeed. But we are bombarded constantly in the media, even in our families, by images of success. Not only that, we're bombarded in the church by images of success. People in churches talk about what successful churches look like, only to be predominantly influenced by images given to us by the corporate world and its models than biblical models. In fact, recently one preacher in the upstate who is preacher at a mega church said that the mega church was not only biblical, but it was part of God's plan for the church. Corporate model. But at the risk of actually taking a look at the Bible to find direction and guidance, I want us to do just that, to briefly look at a few passages here in Proverbs about successful living, to gain some insights into successful living. The passages under consideration today give us an indication that there is something greater than financial wealth to be considered successful. Though I know we need money to provide for our needs and the needs of our family, and even to provide for ministries through the church. But the writer of Proverbs, attributed to Solomon, though there were some other folks involved as well, the writer of Proverbs tells us that there's something more than just wealth in order to be successful in living. And the first step to successful living, according to this writer, is to trust in God and live according to God's knowledge and wisdom and desire. You know, even in churches, sometimes we don't remember that. Even in church, we sometimes think of success as self-fulfillment. And some people preach that success, in God's eyes, is being self-fulfilled. People switch churches or attend a particular one saying, "It just fills me with the Spirit and warms my heart." And while that is important for one's self-image sometimes, we're actually supposed to fulfill the purpose of God for us, not our own self-fulfillment and what we desire. But you know, that's hard to do. It is. It is difficult to do, to really achieve that kind of success. But a major part of successful living, even within the church, and especially for God's people, is in applying wisdom and knowledge gained through study of Scripture, and not just hasty daily Bible readings, by the way. Read through the Bible in 90 days. But serious study of Scripture and finding God's desire and making that our desire. That's the first step. That's what the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, who, as I said, is responsible for a good part of Proverbs. When we think of Solomon, we think of one of two things. We either think about the baby incident, which supposedly proved his wisdom, or we think he's the one who was the wisest man on earth. Even this author, who was supposedly the wisest of persons, says, "I really don't know enough at this point, and I need to know more. And in doing so, I have to follow God's desire and seek knowledge and wisdom." These sayings in Proverbs speak to us of how to live a life along a path of knowledge and wisdom and healthy relationship. Healthy relationship with God and healthy relationships with others in order to have successful living. Though the teachings may seem simple on the surface, the writer also says we are to contemplate, to sit back and think, to contemplate the Scriptures as well as our relationship with God. We have to be willing to learn from the Scriptures before we can actually understand. It's not just enough to have the daily Bible reading and forget what we read 15 minutes later, if it's just for the sake of saying we've had the daily Bible reading. We're to contemplate, whether it's one verse or a whole chapter. And we have to be willing to contemplate and listen to what God says in order to understand the Bible historically, theologically, and practically, if our living will ever truly approach biblical understandings of success. That's primary. And that's what we find in the first verses of chapter 1 of Proverbs. We're also expected to revere and respect God. Throughout this, we keep talking about and hearing about fear of the Lord, knowledge of the Lord. And I know that some people may think I'm being just a little bit picky, especially for someone who finds some good theological statements in Jimmy Buffett and Neil Diamond songs. But in recent months, I have seen in several Christian bookstores around, when I was looking around for supplies, I've seen something that absolutely has raised the hackles on the back of my neck. It's all I can do not to make some odd comment all the time, though I have a couple of times, and had people think, this guy's crazy. But I have actually been in some Christian bookstores lately and have shaken my head and made a few comments over several things, but one of those items, which in my humble opinion, and that and a dollar will get you a drink and a drink machine, didn't want to disappoint you, in my humble opinion, has gone too far, is the car air freshener in the shapes of crosses, an ichthus, and other shapes. In fact, I saw one yesterday. I was pulling out of a parking space, and there was one that was kind of in the shape of an arch, and it had a cross on top of a rock, and it said, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." And it was an air freshener hanging from a mirror in the car. I'm not lying when I tell you that I did see one, and I laughed and shook my head. The saying was, "Jesus, the sweetest name I know." And that was on a car air freshener to hang on your mirror. But I think we've gone a little bit far in not respecting God enough when we start placing those things, in my humble opinion, on car air fresheners to hang from your mirror. We're told in Proverbs that the beginning of true knowledge and wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Not knee-knocking, scared to death, but proper reverence and awe for God. Contrary to a lot of popular postmodern sentiment, we are not on the same level as God. And we are not our own God. To truly live out a successful life with God, we have to have a proper understanding and a corresponding reverence and respect for God. Proverbs 2 continues what was said in chapter 1, verse 7, that true wisdom begins when we acknowledge God as awe-inspiring, not just awesome. Now, awesome is a good word to use, if indeed God has inspired awe within us. Only when we acknowledge this in living and not just in our words can we find the proper wisdom to guide us into successful life and successful living. Not necessarily by the world's standards, but by the standards that matter even more. The standards of God. As one writer recently put it, we must have an attitude of dependence that says, if I am to please God with my life today, I must choose to trust God for decisions and actions and then follow Him. Milton Horn, in a commentary on the book of Proverbs, writes, diligent seeking for wisdom leads to two results. First, a knowledge of God. And second, an understanding of an ethical lifestyle befitting that knowledge of God. But this begins with reverence for God and God's wisdom. After we open ourselves to real study and learning, and after we sincerely acknowledge proper respect for God, then we can begin to live by faith and live in faith. This is a challenge, to be sure, because we want certainty in an uncertain world, do we not? The longer I do this, the longer I study, the longer I'm in biblical study and all kinds of other things, the more I find the world is gray. And I wish I had a whole lot more cut and dried answers. But certainty doesn't just happen. And it's not blindly following a leader. We are to trust in God and rely on God to take us further than our own understanding. Why? Because God knows the way to successful living better than we do. But along that journey, it is not about blindly following. If that life is truly life in faith and life of faith and life by faith, then we must, out of necessity, be willing to ask the questions and seek the answers, even if they shake us. Because if we don't, we cannot fully live, and we can never truly understand. Faith-filled living, not just faithful, but faith-filled living, includes lots of time spent learning of God and God's ways through praying, through studying Scripture, through fellowshipping with other believers. But faith-filled living entails self-sacrifice and discipline. We can't just get it in a soundbite. And sometimes this will include some loving correction by God. But even the writer in chapter 3 says we're not to be afraid of that, because it is one of the ways that we know of God's love and care for us. You know, we really don't like to be corrected, do we? I don't know of too many people that like to be corrected. Not even by God. Sometimes we get embarrassed or deflated when corrected. But sometimes we can grow when that is done in the proper way and we take it the right way. We need to remember that we are children. Even though some of us might be older children than others, we are still children. We're someone's child, but more importantly, we're God's child. And we're always learning at the feet of a loving and caring God who wants so much more for us than we could ever want for ourselves. When we experience God's discipline or correction of our path, we're reminded that God loves us enough to risk our anger and our hurt when God corrects. And when we correct children because we love them. But we also know that when we correct them, they may get angry. They may get hurt. They may even say hurtful things, but we love them enough to run that risk so that relationships can grow and lives can be successful. An unloving or lazy parent who doesn't take the time to correct, especially properly, does not show love and concern, but really indicates to the child that they're really not loved all that much. So sometimes successful living brings hurt and heartache and correction. But if it is loving correction, that's all the difference in our lives and the world. So truly successful living then is not something that comes easily, not by the world's standards, and especially not by God's standards. In either case, successful living involves hard work. It involves hard work, discipline, study, respect, and sometimes correction. Sometimes we as the church have made things far too easy too often, and we demand far too little when it comes to church membership and church participation. The church in the late 20th and early 21st centuries has taken an attitude of feel good and go with the flow of popularity rather than disciplined study and disciplined living. The great theologian Karl Barth writes about the relationship between serious study and prayer. Theological study can only be done in the indissoluble unity of prayer and study. Prayer without study is empty. Study without prayer is blind. The author of Proverbs likewise reminds us who we are as God's children and that the keys to successful living, while not easy, will result in wisdom, knowledge, proper respect for God, and successful living of that type can rock the world in more ways than we can imagine. The challenge is for all of us. Be disciplined. Seek knowledge and wisdom. Seek understanding. Share living lives of faith, for faith, by faith, because they are faith-filled and deep. May we pray? God of grace and God of glory, we ask that You will pour upon Your people Your power to be disciplined, Your power to seek deeper understandings, not only of the Bible, but of our relationships with You and with others. The power to forgive, the power to love. So that in that, not only might we live successfully, but might the world learn of Your success. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is 563, Open My Eyes That I May See. See the depths. See the grace. See the need. As we sing, our altar is open for any decision that you might make, whether that would be a first-time decision for Christ, whether it would be to become part of this fellowship and minister here and from here, whether it would be to renew and recommit yourself to God's service and to successful living by God's standards. And we're going to sing all three verses, Open My Eyes That I May See.